But I'd like to speak this morning from a few different places, beginning, I suppose, in Psalm chapter 19. And we'll have quite a few verses that I'd like to read this morning. Don't know that we'll turn to all of them. I've got some of them written down here, but Psalm 19 is where we'll kind of begin. But then also, I guess, maybe Proverbs, if you want to find Proverbs chapter 11 and put your finger in both of those places. Before we do, let's pray. Father, we are thankful this morning to be your children. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit that you have given to us. We thank you that you have done a mighty work in us, and we would ask this morning that you would continue that work of sanctification in us, that you would teach us from your word. We ask that you would be glorified. We ask that you'd help me as I would preach and that it would be profitable for all of you people. We ask for your help. Amen. Well, I'd like to speak on seeking and receiving counsel this morning. And in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And then similarly in chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Well, what are these, or who are these multitude of counselors? I would like to say this morning that there are three that I'd like to talk about that we have. One being the Word of God is our counselor. Another being the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, one another or men. And that there'll be a few different headings there, but there is safety in a multitude of counselors, and the Lord has given us all of these counselors because we need them. And so I'd like us to consider this morning, what does it mean to give counsel, to receive counsel? How do we do that? Just some basic things on that. And so to begin here, I'd like to look at Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. Concerning the word, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So to begin here, the Word is our counselor. The Lord has given us the Bible for a reason, and that is, of course, to know Him, but also as a guide to us to walk in this life. He says here, and we'll just look at these things briefly. We could spend a great deal of time considering these, but all of these things really refer to the Word of the Bible, what the Lord has given us, the law, His statutes, His commandments, the fear of the Lord. All of these things relate to the Word that He has given us. And so in verse 7 here, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." And that word perfect means whole, complete, sufficient, comprehensive, and covers all aspects of life. That's the Word of God. That's what God has given us. That's why it is our counselor, because it covers everything. It is sufficient for us. We don't need, again, I'm going to wind up going all over the place here instead of sticking to my notes, but we don't need every idea out there. We don't need this man's thoughts and this man's opinion and this psychologist and this psychiatrist and this person here and this person there. We will seek counsel in other places, and oftentimes it'll be good counsel. But the Word of God is what we need to know. It is sufficient for us. It is our counselor. It is perfect. It is complete. It is whole. It says there that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul or restoring the soul. And so the idea there of bringing back the spirit from discouragement, from depression, from anxiety, from these things, restoring us, bringing us back. And oftentimes that's what we need counsel for, right? We've strayed sometimes, or maybe we don't want to stray. And so what does it do? The Word brings us back. We seek the counsel of the Word to bring us back, to restore us. And then in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. What does that word right mean? The sense is showing someone the true path. All right, so knowing where we're going. There's other verses we could look at. I wrote down just one here, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is right. It is good. It shows us where we should go. The statutes of the Lord are right. It says that they rejoice the heart. In other words, as we follow in this path, as we go the right way, as we are going where the Lord would lead, we are rejoicing in that way. We are going in joy and in gladness. And then it goes on there. It says the commandment of the Lord is pure. What does that word pure mean? It means clear, lucid, light-giving. And that's a wonderful thing to think of it in that way, that the Word of the Lord is pure, that it gives light, that it gives understanding, that it's clear. You know, so often, I guess it was my dad was sharing this morning, as he taught in Corinthians, that those who do not know the Lord, who are not led by the Spirit, the Bible makes no sense to them. It's dark. It's foggy. It's vague. It's what does this mean? What in the world is he saying? Just like John shared this morning, these folks, what does this mean? What's he talking about here? The word of the Lord to us is clear. And why is that? Of course, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, teaching us and guiding us and directing us. But it is good to think of it in this way, because we don't need a degree to know what the Word of God is. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm reading a book right now on Robert Annan, an ignorant man, a worthless man before the Lord saved him. And yet here the Lord changes him. Light is going off everywhere. He sees and he understands. And he's able to take the Word and not only apply it to his own life, but he's able to share with everybody the gospel and the truths that it contains. And so the Bible is pure. It's clear. It's light to us. We are able to understand it. It is our counselor. It teaches us. So, says there in verse 8 that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, giving us understanding. And then in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. And again, the fear of the Lord there, again, referring to the scripture, not just the idea of only fearing the Lord, but I think it has to do with our worship, our awe, our reverence towards God. But it says that the fear of the Lord is clean. In other words, it is what we would think of as pure, as it has no imperfections. There is no error. There is no, there's no error. There's nothing there that's going to lead us astray. That's what it means. And so again, what a wonderful thing, right? That is the Word of the Lord. That is the Bible that we have. We are not going to come to the Bible and be led down a wrong path. We're not going to come to the Bible and be led by the Spirit to go somewhere that we shouldn't go. And so it is flawless. It's pure. It is without error, without corruption. And it says that it is enduring forever. It is flawless. It lasts forever. And along with that, what does that mean? Well, that it applies to us forever, right? Every generation. We could certainly talk about that the Bible here was not written 2,000 years ago for those people back then only. The Bible was written 2,000 years ago for us, for them, and for generations to come. It lasts forever. It is applicable to everyone and in every state. Well, why is that? How can that be? Well, for one, God's unchanging. And so what he says here and how he reveals himself and the truth that he gives us is an unchanging truth. But then also, what's the difference between men back then and men today? We dress differently and we talk differently. That's about it. Men are still born in sin and they're still lost apart from Christ. And they are still plagued with the same lusts and the same passions of the flesh today as they were back then. And so the Bible applies to all men everywhere. It lasts forever. The Word of God is sure. It lasts forever. It is unchanging. It is pure. It is right. It is good. It is holy. And it is for every generation. And then he goes on here. He says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They are true. The judgments of the Lord. He does no wrong. He does not make a false judgment. He does not make something. He knows all and everything is good and right that he does. What does it say there? That they are righteous altogether. So that is the word of the Lord. And so that's our first counselor. There are other passages that we could look at. Of course, 2 Timothy speaks of I'm going to have to turn there now because I can't remember it. 2 Timothy 3:16. Somebody knows it. Why don't somebody just say it? What is it? All scripture is given by God and is profitable for teaching. Right. It's amazing. You get up here and everything just goes if you don't have it written down. So all scripture is profitable and it is given for us. There are some other things, other passages we could look at, but I want us to understand, I want us to be clear that the Word of God is given to us as a counselor. And what is a counselor? He's someone who, it would be someone or something, the Word here, the Holy Spirit, God, it teaches us, instructs us, directs us, gives us, instruction for our lives. And so when I'm saying that, when I'm talking about a counselor, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. Someone who teaches us, who directs us, who leads us, who gives sound advice and instruction to us. That's a counselor, and that is the Word of God. And so when Proverbs talks about safety in a multitude of counselors, I'm saying that this counselor, the Word of God, is our first counselor that we should turn to, that we should look to as we try to make decisions, as we are struggling with things, whatever it might be, that the Word of God has been given to us as our counselor and our instruction. And then Psalm 119:24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. So the Word of God is sufficient for us. It is good as a counselor. It is that perfect counselor. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit, I would say, is our other counselor. Now, I'll read these few verses here. Three examples of how the Holy Spirit is our counselor. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. 1 John 2:20 also is very similar to that, that we have the Spirit and he teaches us. Luke 12:11, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And then Acts 16:7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. What are all these three things examples of? They're all examples of the Spirit's work in the lives of men, of leading and directing them, of guiding them. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a counselor to teach us the way that we should go, to show us where we should go, to teach us of God, but also to direct us. I mean, Paul here is clearly directed by the Holy Spirit where he should go. They were going to go here, but no, they went here instead. Well, why? Why did Paul do that? Did he look in the Bible and the Bible said, Paul, don't go here, go over here instead? Well, no. He was led of the Spirit to do these things. He was guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He instructs us. He teaches us. He guides and directs us. And I want us to understand, and perhaps we all do, and I'm just preaching to the choir, but I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit works today just as he did back then. There is no difference today than there was then. It is the same Holy Spirit. He still works and he still moves. We are still able to walk according to the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit, to be taught by the Spirit what to say and how to say it when we talk with men and when we deal with one another. A wonderful example, well, get to that later, but the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit, and he still teaches, directs, and guides us today as he did men in the past, as he did these apostles and these disciples and all of these examples that we have in the Word of the Holy Spirit doing something in and through these men. The Holy Spirit is still able to do that. So often it's not a problem of the Holy Spirit has not given us direction. The problem so often is we're not listening. We're not walking by the Spirit. We're not doing those things that the Lord has commanded us to do and the direction that the Word of God has given us, and therefore we're lost and we're confused and we're not listening and we're not understanding and we don't see anything. The Holy Spirit, though, as we obey the Word, leads and guides and directs us. He is our counselor. He is that perfect counselor to direct us in the way that we should go. And I will say this, I'm sure I don't have to, but the Holy Spirit does not direct and guide us contrary to the Word of God, right? If we find ourselves going off somewhere that is in a clear violation of the Word, then that's not the Spirit directing and guiding us. It's either our flesh or Satan speaking to us to guide us in that way. So the Holy Spirit is our guide and directs us in the way that we should go. I was reminded as I was preparing of what Darla shared last week, in the decisions that her and Doug were wanting to make, and you know, she found that she wasn't waiting upon the Lord as she should. She was anxious, she was worried, she was concerned, all of these things, rather than trusting in the Lord and being led of him, being directed by him. All of these other things have gotten in the way. And that is so often the case. So we need to be led by the Spirit, waiting upon the Lord, listening that we would understand the way that we should go. So those are two of the counselors that I think we should always consult, of course. And then the third, I would just broadly say men. And I'll narrow that down a little bit here. First of all, I would say the Lord has given us elders to be our counselors, the elders of the church. What kind of counsel are we ever looking for? We're always looking for biblical counsel, right? We want to counsel that is wise. Well, where does wisdom come from? Comes from God, comes from the Lord, comes from the Word. And so as we ask wise men, biblically wise men, we're going to get biblical counsel. We're going to get good counsel, Lord willing. And so the elders of the church have been given for counsel, for instruction, for help, for guidance. MacArthur says, professional psychologists are no substitute for spiritually gifted people, and the counsel that psychology offers cannot replace biblical wisdom and divine power. And I like how he said there, spiritually gifted people. He didn't just say elders. I'm talking about elders right now. But the spiritually gifted people is so true that it doesn't have to be an elder. And I'll list the other ones here. You'll see that. But the spiritually gifted people, those who are led by the Spirit and who are directed by the Word of God, are good counselors and ones that we should seek out. So the Lord has given us elders. Secondly here, I would say older men or older women. Now, I'm going to classify that also, and I'm going to say not just age, older. Because again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about spiritual things in many cases. And so an older man may not be a wiser man because he's just been walking with the Lord a short time. And so, again, I want us to be clear that just because somebody's older doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be giving you wise counsel. But so often that is the case, right? I mean, if we're just going to be general, so often the older men in the church are those who have walked with the Lord longer and are able to give good, wise, helpful, godly counsel. Titus 2:4 talks of the older women teaching the younger women. And so directing in those things. And so those are good counselors. Our parents are good counselors. Children, speaking to you young children right now, but also you older children, even such as myself who have parents that are still alive and the Lord is still given me to seek counsel from. But our parents are those that the Lord has given us to seek counsel from. And I remember Bob Jennings talking about this, that even if they're unconverted, so often your parents can offer some good counsel just in some material things or some physical things. For example, if you're going to buy a house, well, your mom and dad may know a little bit about that. They've probably bought a few of them. Maybe not. I'm not saying yes or no, but you can certainly seek some counsel from them when you would be looking into something like that. And so our parents, Proverbs is full of that, right? My son, listen, hear, listen to my instruction. Listen to what I'm saying. Do what I tell you. So parents are good counselors. And then another one that I have here would be the saints of old. And I'm talking men who have come before us, who have gone before us. Well, how do you know what they have to say? You've got to read what they have to say. And so I'm going to put a plug in here and an encouragement for everybody here that you need to be reading what other men have written and the benefit and benefit from their wisdom. Because godly men, great godly men have come before us who the Lord has used mightily and has given great abundance of wisdom to. And we need their counsel so often. You know, just as a practical example, what would you think of me if I told you that I'm a pastor, but I never read anything that anybody else has to say about anything? You'd think, well, that's kind of strange, but nobody's got anything to offer. This guy's got it all figured out all on his own. He's got nothing. Well, I would say the same to you as a Christian. So you're a Christian, but you're not going to read anything anybody else has ever said because you've got it all figured out all by yourself. So there's just a wealth out there of good, solid, biblical counsel from men who have gone before that we should use and avail ourselves of. And I'm going to give you a couple here. I'm going to tell you, E.M. Bounds on Prayer is a wonderful resource, a wonderful instruction. biblical counsel on prayer and encouragement to prayer, direction and guidance in prayer. And there's a book, I think it's on the back table. Ichabod Spencer wrote Pastor Sketches, a wonderful resource for everybody, not just pastors, because he deals there with men's souls and how we should deal with men's souls. And so it's good, helpful counsel for all of us in dealing with lost men and leading them to Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones is a wonderful resource for so many things, not just doctrine, but practical living out of that doctrine. So much good, wise counsel there. And I think just, I'm kind of hitting all the different categories here, but Hudson Taylor and the things that the Lord taught him, and the book, there's a few different books about his life, but just a wonderful blessing and encouragement, great wisdom there. And looking at how he lived his life, what the Lord taught him, and what he did. There's a small book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets, and then there's the two-volume biography. And it's just that I've not read the two-volume yet, but the small one is just wonderful to live, to see how this man lived, and to live that out today. How he took the biblical principles from the Word and lived them out, and the counsel that he gives to us in that book. So all of these things, these men of old, these saints that the Lord has used before us, they should be our counselors as well. We should seek them out. And then another one here, our husbands and our wives. My wife is a wonderful counselor to me, and so we should seek them out. So these are three categories that I'm, and again, maybe it's not extensive, but these are three when the Proverbs say in a multitude of counselors, here is your multitude of counselors. I'm giving it to you this morning. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and one another. These godly men and women around us that can help us and can teach us and can guide us. So, a couple of things then. In order for any of this to be any good, what do we have to do? We have to seek out this counsel, right? And so let me admonish you and encourage you to seek out godly counsel. You have to seek it out oftentimes. It's very rare that somebody just comes to you and says, hey, brother or sister, I've got some counsel for you. Sometimes that happens on occasion. And that's good when it does. But you need to be active. You need to seek out this multitude of counselors. And so that is an active thing that we should be doing as believers, as saints. We are responsible for that. That is the biblical instruction and model that we have been given, to seek out counsel. A few examples of counsel or counselors. Isaiah 40:13, and I'll just read that because that's I don't have it written down, and it's good to consider. 12. Isaiah 40:12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? What does that have to do with anything? Well, who instructed God? No one. He knows it all. He's got it all. We should be seeking him for help, because he is the know-it-all counselor that we can go to. So, Isaiah 40 there. A couple of other examples here. We're not going to read it, but Joshua 9:14. I'm sure we all remember the story. The Gibeonites come to Israel, they hear that they're wiping out everybody, that they're going to destroy everybody in the land. And the Gibeonites come and say, we're from far away. Would you make a treaty with us? They've got their moldy bread and their worn out clothes. And what do? They don't seek counsel from the Lord. They say, yeah, sure, you guys came from a long way, clearly. And so they make a treaty with them. Very displeasing to the Lord. Disobedient to the Lord. They did not seek counsel in that situation. For had they, the Lord would have said, no, destroy them. They are inhabitants of the land that I have told you to destroy. So that is an example of not seeking counsel. 2 Samuel 16:23 is Ahithophel. I don't know if you might remember the story. Absalom takes over the kingdom from David, drives David out, and Ahithophel was David's counselor. And he turns and he stays with Absalom. And it says there in 2 Samuel 16:23 that his counsel was as the oracles of God. Is that not amazing? That this man, that was what the Lord had given him, this wise counsel. And the Lord overturned it. He gave wise counsel to Absalom, and Absalom ignored it. If Absalom had done what he had said, he would have taken over the kingdom. He would have destroyed David. And so David surrounded himself with wise counsel. And so this is the wisdom that God can give to men to be counselors. And it is an example of what is out there and what is available through the work of the Spirit in the life of a man, but also an example of David surrounding himself with those who give wise counsel. And so we should surround ourselves with those who give wise counsel. Another example is 1 Kings 12:8 and also 2 Chronicles 10:6. That's the story of Rehoboam. Solomon dies. Rehoboam takes over the kingdom. And the people come to him and say, lighten the burden that your father put on us. And Solomon's counselors, these old men who are now Rehoboam's counselors, they say, if you lighten the load of these people, they will be yours forever. And the young worthless counselors that Rehoboam took to himself, he said, well, what do you guys think? They said, no, break them. Break them. Make it even worse. And so what happened? They broke off. They followed Jeroboam. And Judah was left, and Israel followed them. And so he surrounded himself with poor counsel. He sought counsel from his peers, really, is what happened. And there was no wisdom there. There was no godly counsel. And so let me warn you young people, especially, don't surround yourself just with those folks that are your same age that think like you and act like you and get counsel from them. Proverbs talks about that also. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about those who would come to you. The idea there of just your fellows who come and let's go do this mischief together. It says don't follow after them. Don't go with them. So that's an example of poor counsel, of seeking poor counsel. There's a bunch of examples. I'll read just a few of them, I think, in Proverbs that I wrote down here. I'll give you these verses. Proverbs 19:20. Says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. And then 20:18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Another example here would be Judges 20:18. And I questioned whether or not I would bring this up, but I will. In Judges 20:18, it's the story of the Levite whose wife or his concubine runs away from him. He goes and finds her, brings her back. And on the way back, she's raped and killed by the men of Benjamin. And so he lets everybody know what happened. And so all the tribes rise up and say, nothing like this has ever been done in Israel. What are we going to do? And they all come together, everybody but Benjamin. And they go to Benjamin and they say, give us these men that we may purify the land. And Benjamin says, no, we're not giving them to you. And so they're going to go to war against them. And so what do? They seek counsel from the Lord. They say, Lord, who should go up first? And Judah is to go up first. And they go up and are defeated by the men of Benjamin. And they go to the Lord again and they say, Lord, what should we do? What's going on here? The Lord says, we'll go up again. And they're defeated again. And they come back and they ask the Lord again. And they go up against them and destroy them. Well, why do I give that example? Well, it's in the Bible. There's something there for us. But the outcome of good counsel is not always the outcome we want. It's not always an easy thing. It's not something that we can just say, this is good counsel because X, Y, and Z happened, and I like X, Y, and Z. But sometimes that good counsel is not palatable to us. But it was the right thing, or it was good. It was from the Lord. A couple of things then. Why don't we seek counsel? What are the hindrances to us? Well, so often it's our pride, right? We've got it figured out. We don't need another man. We don't need this. We don't need that. We're good. And so we don't seek counsel. So pride is a hindrance. We don't want to submit, so to speak, to what somebody else has to say. I was confronted with this not too long ago. I called somebody for counsel, and my wife said, well, what are you going to do if they tell you the opposite of what you're wanting to do? And I thought, well, that's a hard place. I guess I better submit to that counsel. He's an older and a wiser man. Thankfully, he agreed with me, so there was no problem there. But there was the potential and the possibility there when I went to seek his counsel that he'd say, no, you're wrong. This is what you need to do. And so we need to have that understanding and that awareness that that is always the possibility. And we need to be humbled and willing to receive that counsel, not to go our own way. All right. What do we seek counsel for? Well, we seek counsel on all manner of things, all sorts of things, buying a house, buying a car, dealing with our children and our homes, dealing with one another, all sorts of different things, spiritual things we can seek counsel for. Going to men in the faith and say, well, what has the Lord used in your life? Or how did you deal with this? Or how did you grow in this area? Or whatever. Seeking counsel, seeking direction, getting help for all of those things. All right. Just a couple other things. Some things that are good and not so good here. I read a number of things there concerning the Holy Spirit and His work in our life, that He teaches us all things. And First John talks about, since we have the Spirit, we have no need that any man teach us. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean, oh, I have the Holy Spirit, and so I don't need anybody else? Well, that would be contrary to everything else that the Scripture teaches. And so I want to warn us that just because we have the Holy Spirit does not mean we don't need to go to anybody else. We don't say, oh, I've got the Spirit, and so I don't need counsel. That's wrong. That's not taking the whole counsel of God and applying it. That's taking one part and taking it out of context. To tell somebody what you're going to do is not seeking counsel. I have done that in the past, and that is a messed up situation oftentimes. I remember when we were going to sell our house, I told a bunch of people I was going to sell my house. Told them. I didn't ask them, what do you think? I just said, hey, I'm going to put my house on the market in January. Blah, 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 blah. Well, what were they supposed to do? Well, they could have said, are you sure about that? Really, huh? And some of them did. But I didn't ask counsel. I didn't seek counsel. I just told everybody what I was going to do here. And so that is not seeking counsel, telling people what you're getting ready to do. Seeking counsel is saying, should I do this? What do you think? Do you have any wisdom for me? Can you help me here? Not, this is what I'm doing. See ya. That's not counsel. To ask and to ignore counsel can often be wrong. The person looking in from the outside is often able to see things that you're not able to see, and so is often a good counselor. And so consider that. One of the greatest benefits to counsel is that somebody else has a different perspective, can see different things than you can see, because you're in that situation, you're in that thing, you have all of these pressures on you, or you have all of these desires that you're wanting to do, and they don't have any of that, and they can look at the outside and say, no, you're looking at things wrong here. You need to step back. you need to consider some other things. And so that is a benefit to counsel. Again, just the whole issue of pride. When we're given counsel, or when even somebody, you know, when somebody does come to us when we didn't ask for counsel, that often ruffles our feathers. I didn't ask anything from you. What are you nosing in my business for? That's a wrong attitude. The Lord has placed us together for a reason, that we can benefit from one another. And so when that counsel comes, even when it was not asked for, we need to receive it. We need to be humble, and we need to be open to it. We need to seek counsel. It's wrong to think that we've got it all figured out on our own. And then here's a couple other practical things. To gossip when seeking counsel is wrong. Have you ever experienced that? I have. People come to you and they say, hey, I'm wanting to know what I should do in this situation because so-and-so, this person's doing that and the other. That's not seeking counsel. That's just gossip. So beware that when you seek counsel, you're not just gossiping about somebody or a situation or something like that. So be careful with our motives. And then also, we need to... That's my timer. I need to be done. All right, just a couple other things. Those who would give counsel. That's all right, sister. We love you. Those who would give counsel need to be careful, right? To give counsel is a serious thing. And so, hear me on this. Just because somebody comes to you with counsel, for counsel, does not mean you have it. And so you need to be careful as to what counsel you give, because poor counsel can be like these situations in the past that we read about in Kings and Rehoboam and other places where poor counsel was given, and we don't want to be like that. We don't want to give that poor counsel that would ruin people's lives or cause great harm to them. So be careful and check your motives when you're giving counsel. Is your motive to be heard? I've got some great things to say here. Listen to me. Your pride elevating you to think highly of yourself when you should not. Be careful of those things. We want to have the proper motives. Our motive should be to help and to glorify God in what we're doing here. To seek this person's good and not our own elevation, not our pride being exalted. And so then lastly here, just in closing, how can we know any of these counselors? Well, we must be in the Word. If you're going to be counseled by the Word, you better know the Word. You're not going to get counsel from the Word by not reading it. So you better be in the Word daily, continually, memorizing, studying, knowing the Word of God. Time in prayer, speaking with the Lord, hearing from the Lord, walking in the Spirit, fellowship with the saints, and spending time reading other good, profitable books. These are ways that we receive counsel, and ways that the Lord, things that the Lord has given to us for our benefit, for our good. And then lastly, I'll just read this. I preached on this at Family Camp, and so I'm not going to preach it again. But for those of you who are lost, the only counsel that you need to hear is repent, be converted, seek the Lord. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That is the only counsel that you need to seek the Lord, to seek wisdom, to repent and to be converted. Amen.